It's time for Voices from the Garden, a series that celebrates and explores an intrinsic mix of life lessons, faith stories, and glorious gardening adventures, told by those who experience them in their own words, exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast.
Hi, Rose friends. This is Lynn Hunt talking with you from the beautiful mountains of Western North Carolina. For those of you who don't know me, I've been a member of the American Rose Society for more years than I care to admit. I'm an accredited ARS horticultural judge and a consulting rosarian emeritus. I'm also a writer, photographer, and broadcast producer, which is how I first met David Austin and fell in love with his English roses. You see, while I was living in London in the early 90s, I attended the Chelsea Flower Show, where I first saw a hybridizer who was working to create his vision of the perfect rose, a new old-fashioned rose with the fragrance and charm of blooms from grandmother's garden and the vigor of modern shrubs. I was immediately struck with a serious case of English rose fever. After moving back across the pond, I wrote an article, perhaps the first one nationally, about English roses for Fine Gardening magazine. The Austin folks were delighted with the article and invited me to visit the nursery when I was next in England, which happened to be in 1998. Anticipating the trip, I was reminded of the story of a very successful artist friend who told me about the day he knocked on Norman Rockwell's door. A bashful teenager, my friend only wanted to express his admiration for the great man and tell him of his hopes of becoming a painter. Much to the young man's surprise, Mr. Rockwell graciously invited him inside, gave him a tour of his studio, and encouraged him not to give up his dream of becoming an artist. I felt very much like my friend when we drove up to David Austin's nursery in Wolverhampton, England. I expected he'd say hello, autograph the copy of The Heritage of the Rose I'd brought along, and perhaps pose for a photo with me. Instead, I was treated to a personal tour of his entire operation and talked with him for a couple of hours about roses in general and English roses in particular. The first stop on the tour was the nursery rose garden. Despite the fact it was early October when we visited, hundreds of roses were still in bloom. The garden features over 900 different roses, mostly antique roses, English, and shrub roses. Within the main garden, there are five individual gardens. The geometrically designed Renaissance garden is devoted entirely to English roses. A narrow canal runs down the center, leading to a temple with pillars. While strolling through the gardens, Mr. Austin proudly pointed out the many sculptures which were crafted by his wife, Pat. Next, we walked through several greenhouses packed with cuttings in various stages of development. Some of these would later be crossed with other seedlings. Some would move out to the trial fields. The not-so-promising would be trashed. The goal at that time was to develop English roses with more vibrant colors and disease resistance. Mr. Austin was also interested in the creation of new and better-cut flowers. Every year, 150,000 pollen crosses are made by hand, which will produce about 400,000 seeds. Meticulous records are kept of each of the seedlings' parents. These seeds are planted after being chilled in a cooler for 3 months. Approximately 250,000 will germinate, and the resulting plants are evaluated for beauty, character, fragrance, diversity of bloom, disease resistance, and potential for use in flower arrangements. Several years later, only 4 to 6 of the original 250,000 plants will make it into commerce. In the trial fields, assistants evaluate the bushes for diseases and insect problems. Mr. Austin keeps an eye out for form, color, and fragrance in a bloom. He flags those that appear promising with a bamboo stick. In the hip room, about a dozen workers were culling seeds from this year's crosses. The seeds are then kept in a cooler for 3 months before planting, and at that point, the entire process begins again. Back in the Austin Nursery Conference Room, I had an opportunity to talk roses with Mr. Austin Sr., David Austin Jr., and Michael Marriott over tea and shortbread. I was impressed how interested they all were in knowing more about how their roses perform here, about successes and disappointments. They told me about some of the exciting new English roses that would be coming to America soon. I wondered if in the greenhouse or in the fields, I'd seen Darcy Bustle taking her first bow. I look back on that day so often. Since then, Michael Marriott has become a good friend, and I have been back to the nursery 2 more times, once for the David Austin Press Day. English roses have anchored my garden in Maryland, and now here in the mountains. I've written dozens of articles about his roses over the years. There are many great ones, but James Galway remains my favorite. Of course, we've recently heard the sad news that David Charles Henshaw Austin passed away at his home on December 19th. He was 92. As I wrote in my blog, The Dirt Diaries, very few people in life leave this world a more beautiful place than they found it. David Austin was one of those rare individuals. He left us with 230 varieties of his enchanting English roses, and he left many of us with the memories of a shy, gentle man who lived and breathed the Queen of Flowers. I shall never forget him.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Voices from the Garden, an exclusive story series celebrating the human experience in the garden exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast. If you have a story to tell, email us at grow@rosechat.info. Voices from the Garden is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.